have some special guests with us, just to kind of front load what we're kind of the focus today. You guys have been a Christian for any amount of time. You're familiar with the Great Commission and the Gospels, this commission that Jesus Christ has given all of us as his followers to, as it says in Mark 16:15, go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. This good news that I was just praying, basically making it known to everyone. And as I've been pointing out often, we haven't been raptured yet. We're still here. So that means there's still people that need to hear this good news. And so more so than ever, we should all be about sharing this glorious news of Jesus and his love for people and the way that they can be forgiven of their sin and freed of all that guilt and condemnation and made right with God. And like we talked about a couple weeks ago, have purpose that they can't have apart from him, and have true satisfaction and contentment that can only be found in Christ. And so one of the things of this Great Commission that we get to be a part of is missions. You might have heard it said before, we're all on mission, and we are. That's very true. First and foremost, we're called to be on mission right where we're at. But the Lord, in his amazingness, uses us to be a part of on mission all over the rest of the world as well. And for some of us, that means to literally go to other places, whether that's short-term or long-term. Sometimes for some of us, that means to prayerfully or come alongside people in prayer that are in other places serving. Sometimes it's financially. And just along that lines, I want to just really affirm you guys. I had April kind of check the books for the year up into November to see through the Lord's faithfulness through you guys, like what we've been able to contribute towards missions this year. And so far at the end of November, we've been able to contribute close to $50,000. And that just, it makes me, like, we're just a little old church in Olney, all right? Like, it baffles me. It shouldn't baffle me, because the Lord is just so much bigger than we could ever anticipate. But we're not some mega church. But, like, that's how big our God is, all right? And he's allowed us to have our fingers, if you will, or his fingers in all ends of the earth, all over the world. I remember thinking, like, one of the first trips we took down to Columbia, and we brought, like, something like 500 Bibles down there. And how the guys down there were telling us these Bibles are going to go into like the jungles of Columbia, people that had never even seen a Bible. And I'm like, man, the Lord's using this little church out in the middle of nowhere to do this great thing, you know, so that people can know him. And so it always amazes me to be a part of the Lord's awesome work. And I love having missionaries kind of that this church is supporting, or they have some ties with, to come back and share with you guys how the Lord is using your faithful prayers, your faithful support and stuff, because it's an encouragement to us to hear that. Like how, you know, again, we're just as much a part of it as the actual people that are there doing it. And so we have a couple special guests today. First, we're going to have Mike Riffle come up here. If you guys don't know the Riffles, if you've been going here for a while, you probably know them because they've been here several times before and kind of shared about the mission organization they're part, Columbia Grace Foundation. Was it 2012 you moved down there, Mike? 2011. So just to give you guys a little backstory, I know the Riffles from when I first got saved. When I got saved in 2000 at Oregon State, greatest college ever. They didn't win last night, though. But when I got saved down there, Mike was a part of the college ministry I got saved in. And so he became somebody that discipled me, and him and his wife and their family have been lifelong friends for ours. And about 2011, he called me and kind of just out of the blue shared with me what the Lord was leading him to do. And that was to sell his business and move down to Columbia to start a church and an orphanage down there for youth. And it was just like, wow, you know, like he was telling me like the things the Lord was doing to confirm this. And it was just kind of one of the like God moment after God moment where you're like, this is absolutely amazing. And so I remember telling our old pastor at the time, Jason Beal, who's also here today to share later on. But like you got to hear what this guy has to, like my friend is saying. Like, and we went over to meet with them over in Portland. They were on their way to a conference, Mike and another guy, Josh, that were going down to Columbia. And they just shared the same thing he shared with me. And from that moment on, God just made it obvious the church was come alongside them and just support them however they needed support prayerfully, financially, going down there on several trips. Many of you have been down there before over the years and gotten to see just firsthand the work the Lord's doing down there. And so him and his family are on a kind of a couple month break, which is amazing in itself. In the midst of all this COVID thing, they were able to come home. But they're here this weekend, and I asked Mike to come share with you guys just of all what the Lord's doing. So I want to have Mike Riffle come up here, and you guys can welcome him.
Greetings in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's awesome to be here. I decided to keep my coat on this morning. We're adjusting a little bit to the cold. So it's always a blessing to be here. You guys are such an important part of the ministry down there. And I hope that the Lord does encourage your hearts today to hear his work. And it is his work. We're just his servant. And he is the one who is faithful. We do have a PowerPoint. I don't know. Is that this picture is a picture of my family when we first arrived in Colombia. I put that up there just to remind us of God's faithfulness. In March, it will be 10 years since we set out. And I can still testify that God has been faithful. He's faithful every day. And he has provided and he has led us in spite of our inadequacies, in spite of our weakness, in spite of all of the things that the reasons this shouldn't work. It's God's ministry. And so we're here to testify to his faithfulness this morning. We, as you know, we set out to both to take care of orphans and plant a church in a farm. I think last time we were here, we were just getting ready to open our second orphan house, the Philippi house. As some of you know, we started naming all the buildings on the farm. We have the Jerusalem house, then the Judea building, then this Samaria building, and then all the ends of the earth. And so the second orphan house is the Philippi house. And let's see, we're almost like a new advance. We have 16 boys on the farm. through a long process, the Lord has led us to be a boys' home. There are other girls' homes in the area, but just from logistical things and the Lord leading, mostly the Lord only brings boys. And so in the beginning, we had some girls, but we've since switched to a boys' home. You go ahead and advance. This is the Philippi house. And you can go through a few of these slides. They just have pictures of the homes. And the next one, kitchen. And then here's a picture of the family. This is Heriberto and Karen. I don't think you guys, has anyone been there? Have you guys been there since they took over? You haven't. So I hope you guys get to meet them someday. They're an awesome family. Those of you who know Fabio and Emilce, Karen is Fabio's oldest daughter. And just in God's providence, he allowed her and her husband to come. And they're taking care of these boys, and they're doing an awesome job. We're very thankful for them. And then a picture of Fabio and the other boys in the Jerusalem house. These are them. They're a lot of familiar faces for those who've been down there. The boys are growing up. We just praise God for his faithfulness. So see the next slide. It's a picture of our house. Some of you have stayed there. Some of you experienced lots of bugs and insects and stuff in this home, and hammocks too. Next, just God's faithfulness and provision. We met in a chicken coop for the first 3 years that we were there, and then the Lord just in his great mercy provided the funds to build this building. It's been a huge blessing. The next one shows our sanctuary where the Lord is worshiped. He's being worshiped this morning. Well, they're probably done. They're 3 hours ahead of us, but It's a special, special place. Many of you have worshiped the Lord with us in this place. Next one. This is the church that the Lord is building. And we just overwhelmed at God's mercy. When we set out, the Lord convinced us that his gospel is the power of God unto salvation for those who believe. And if we are faithful to preach his word, that he will build his church. And that's what we strive to do. We preach through the word. We teach through the word. And the Lord has called his people to himself, his sheep have heard his voice. This is a picture of the church last year on our eighth anniversary. We couldn't meet this year. We had a lockdown for 5 months, and it was a lot stricter than it is here. It was a full lockdown. Children couldn't leave their homes for a 5 month period, or elderly. We could leave our home once every about 2 weeks based on our ID number, one person, to buy food, to buy supplies. And then from Friday night to Monday morning, it was full lockdown. Nobody could leave. And so we were unable to meet as a church during that time. But the Lord was faithful. We were able to have fellowship over WhatsApp, and I was able to record sermons. One of the crazy things that the Lord did, because I've, as you know, I've had a translator, Jamie. Many of you know him for a long time, and I've been preaching in English. And I was forced to preach in Spanish, to record sermons in Spanish during the lockdown. So I like to say that it took a global pandemic to get me to preach in Spanish. But thankfully, we're doing it now, and the Lord's been faithful and helped us in that. So we can do the next slide. One of the, just some of the awesome moments that the Lord allows in ministry, as many of you know, ministry is hard in a lot of ways. Anyone that served in ministry at any capacity knows that. But the Lord gives sweet moments. We had a baptism planned for June, but that was also delayed until October. But we had six new believers who were baptized, and it was just a special day that we had. You could go through these slides. You might recognize my son Andrew on the right, or your guys' right, and then Janer. He's been on the farm for I would say about 8 years. And the Lord has really worked in his heart. And he professed faith in the Lord and is really growing. And he was baptized as well. Do the next slide. This is Hans on the right and my daughter Annabelle on the left. And they were both baptized. And the next one. This is Carlitos David and John Hammer. Many of you guys know these young kids. And I wanted to read this morning. Each of them shared their testimony with the church prior to their baptism. And there wasn't a dry eye in the building. It's incredible to hear how the Lord has worked in their heart. And I wanted to read for you this morning a portion of their testimony. This one's from John Hammer on the left. And to give you a little background, he came from a very difficult neighborhood. Just pretty much everyone in that neighborhood just gets involved in drugs or gangs, violent. Many of them die young. And John Hammer's dad was killed a couple years ago, just in a gang, drug-related problems. And it was devastating to him, and just to see how the Lord has worked in his heart. And I wanted to read, knowing that, hearing his testimony, just it both breaks your heart, but it's amazing to see how God has worked it in him. He said, this is just part of it, but he said, I want to be baptized because I recognize that I'm a sinner and that I'm only saved if I believe in Jesus Christ, who died for my sins. I want to be part of the church and someday be with him. I know that many in my family will not obtain eternal life. It grieves me deeply that my dad is one of them. Every day I plead to the Lord for my mom and my brother. Every day I ask forgiveness for my sins. I give thanks because he's helped me to change many things about my life. And I know that he hears my prayers, and I want to be a Christ-like man so that when I have my family, I can teach them the work of God. And then Carlitos David on the right, just a portion of him, of what he wrote. He said, I also want to get baptized because I know God has put me in this place and not left me in this world that leads only to death. Even though I once decided to leave the foundation, he brought me back again to show me the way to eternal life. He took me from the street and put me here and open my eyes to his truth. So it's just really encouraging to hear that the Lord is doing what he said he would do in his word. And just in spite of everything, he is calling these boys to himself. He's saving them and he's adding them to his kingdom. And he's also giving them the desire to be faithful husbands, faithful fathers, which is one of our aims. We hope to break the cycles of brokenness in these families that has been passed down from generation to generation. So praise God for his work in their lives. So, another amazing thing that the Lord has done, I'm not sure how much I was able to share, if I've shared here in person about it, but as many of you know, about 5 years ago, there was a very difficult time in the foundation. And through some extremely difficult circumstances, we went from three elders to me being the only elder. And I was more of a behind-the-scenes elder. I like to serve in different ways, teach, disciple. But I was forced to take a more upfront role in preaching. And I really felt the need to study, to grow in my understanding of the word. Just through prayer and through the Lord's providence, I found the opportunity to study at a modular seminary course on the other side of Colombia. So once every 3 months for about 4 years, I would fly with a few other brothers and we would study together. And it was just an incredible time of fellowship, but an incredible time of study of the word and growing. And the Lord, it was such a blessing in my life. I just desired that the men on the coast, the other side of Colombia where we are, could study. But because of the travel related to it, it's unfeasible. It's very expensive. And so we just started praying. I was talked to some of the pastors that come, and then the one in charge of the seminary. It's a small seminary out of Kentucky. And through that, the Lord opened the door to open another branch of the seminary on the farm where we are. And we figured that there may be about 48 men interested. And the cost of flying those 48 men to the other side of Colombia for 4 years was more than it would cost to build the infrastructure to receive them on the farm. So, and then miraculously, like so many other stories that I could tell over the years, the Lord just supernaturally provided the funds to build 6 cabins and a covered eating area that we've been working on. So these are the plans. I have a few pictures of our progress so far. These are the cabins. For those of you who've been to the farm, when you go in the gate, it would be to the right behind the little building there. This is what the cabins look like from the front. You can look at, I think, another one more close up. And this is I've been working on this pretty much all year during the pandemic. It's given me at least something to do. I was really thankful that we lived in a farm, because our property technically is the whole farm, so we couldn't go outside there, but we had lots to do in the farm. And this is one of them. These are what they look like. And then in the middle, we have a covered eating area where we can gather to eat meals. It has a kitchen in there. I have some pictures of the underside of it. So hopefully you guys can also come. This will work great for housing teams. It'll probably be a little more comfortable than it has been in the past for you guys. Another project that the Lord has provided for this year was a workshop. One of our aims is to teach the boys how to work so they have an ability to provide for themselves. And it also works well for building the seminary and as just a place to work in. The picture of, I think the next one, it's a water tower. A water tower that we had was collapsing, so we had to abandon it, and the Lord provided to build this one earlier this year. And also a well, just a story of God's faithfulness. Before the pandemic started and we kind of knew the lockdown was coming. They announced it. And so we prepared in every way that we could. We got food. We got some extra chickens and animals. Just did what we could. And then the day after the lockdown, our well collapsed completely. And we were without water. And it was just God's way of saying, trust me, I'm going to take care of you guys. And miraculously, through our neighbor, a lady that lives right next door to us, the Lord provided water for 4 months. And we've built a relationship with her. We've been able to share the gospel with her. She hasn't come to the Lord yet, but we're praying for her. And just been amazing to see how the Lord provides. And he wants us to be dependent on him. So he doesn't want us to be trusting in what we have or don't have, but in him. And so we're thankful for that. The next, we have a lot more animals than we used to. One of the big changes that we've made on the farm, early on, each animal was just kind of belonged to the farm, but not to anybody. And what that does, nobody really has ownership of it. If the kids help with it, they're not really invested, so they might underfeed it, overfeed it, or forget to feed it. And so we were just praying, like, what can we do better? And what we've done instead is they can work different jobs on the farm, and we pay them a little bit. They buy their own animals, their own food. They take care of them. And then when the time comes, they sell the meat or the whatever it is, and they get all the benefit from that. And it's really motivated them. And we notice they're a lot more careful when they feed it. They don't overfeed it because it's their own resources on the line. And so instead of buying our food, our chickens from the store, We'll buy them from the boys, or we'll buy pig pork from the boys, or different things. And so it's been kind of neat, and we've been, I think it's working pretty well. There's some pictures of some pigs on here. Or these are some calves that were born last year. The cows still are the farms because they're kind of a big animal. But here's some pigs, a little piglet. We have a lot of pigs on the farm right now. I think there's about 40 or something. So we had two litters born over the last couple weeks. So we've also been trying to plant more. We have a citrus grove. It's kind of hard to discern on that picture. But down below, we planted limes, oranges, some grapefruit, mandarin oranges, and then some guava as well. And so every year we get a little bit more, been doing better. And then a lot of papayas. What's the next slide? Picture of, this is a project that some of the boys and some of my girls were working on, planting cucumbers. And kind of as a neighborhood, there's a project to create it. It's like a tourist destination. And actually they just launched it, I think, last week. And so, like, if you go to a hotel in Cartagena, there's brochures, and one of the brochures would take you to our neighborhood, and you can pay to take tours of the farms. And we're trying to plant, instead of selling like raw cucumbers, we're trying to make pickles or make things out of them that we can sell, product that we can sell. Just kind of a way to stimulate the economy in the local neighborhood. And so we've been trying to be good neighbors. We've been involved in that, and it's been pretty fun for some of the kids to do that. This is our school. We've been trying for a few years now to get our school legalized, but the Lord hasn't opened that door. Early on, the government went through this massive project following all the laws. We created a institute. It's called an educational institutional project, and it's about that thick, describing everything that the school will do. Submitted it to the government, and basically they wanted us to pay them under the table to get legalized, which we weren't willing to do. So we were waiting. They would give us things we needed to fix, or just it would be 3 months or 6 months before we'd hear back. We tried to do everything they could, and then finally the last time we were there, they told us that we needed to present this big plan of how we were going to teach the LGBT agenda in the school. And until we had that, we couldn't be approved. And so that kind of, I guess as far as it goes, we're not willing to do that, obviously. So I don't know if we'll ever be a school, a legal school, but we've continued to teach the kids, and the Lord's opened doors through local schools in Turbana to get them certified. They can get a government, like an actual certified education. So it's kind of like homeschool in a way. And this year we had our first class election, or student body elections, and Hans is the student body president. And he actually asked me to ask to present, he actually made up this nice little card presenting a project for providing like sports equipment, if anyone wanted to help with that. So if there's anyone who wants to help with that, Hans would be really excited. But the kids are doing great. We have four teachers. You can do the next slide. Jeffrey, that's Jamie. You guys know them. Katie is a missionary from Maryland. She's been there for about 2 years. She's just an awesome young lady. She helps teach on the farm. And then also Heriberto, Karen's husband, helped teach on the farm. I think I have some pictures of a field trip we were able to take before COVID. We went to the zoo in Barranquilla. The kids had an awesome time. Soccer field. You guys know the soccer field, volleyball net, and the next slide. I think that's about it. Oh yeah, one of the things that we do every birthday on the farm, and there's 30 of us, so there's a lot of birthdays, is whoever's birthday it is gets to pick what we have for lunch that day, and then we eat together as a farm. So it's a lot of fun. This is a picture of one of the birthdays, and it's a reminder of some of our friends on the farm. Some of you have got to know some of them a little bit. Always keeps it interesting. So, but more than anything, we just want to share the Lord's faithfulness. We want to thank you for your faithful support. It takes the body of Christ to do this ministry. We're, as Chris said, we're just fingertips. But without the body, there's no way that this ministry could be possible. So we thank you. We give all the glory to Christ, for from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. So, thank you.
Why don't you stay up here for a sec, Mike, and I'm going to have his family come up here so we can just kind of pray for them as a body. So go ahead and come up here. They like being front and center. I just want to make one thing really clear, too. I'm not really short. They're just really tall. So, Lord, we thank you so much for these guys and just the great reports of all you're doing. I just think, Lord, of the humble beginnings for the people that were here 11 years ago that saw the first video of the trip and just this chicken farm with an old dilapidated building that hadn't been lived in for 20 years, overtaken by the jungle, to what you've done. And we just want to give you glory because you're the one that's done it all, Lord, to building a church, building these homes for the kids and bringing these kids here, building this seminary. Lord, just we're in awe of all you're doing. And we know it's for the purpose of just making you known to all these people down there that need to know you, that need to be reconciled to you, that need to understand the love of God in their lives and receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior. So, Father, we just pray that you would continue to finish the work that you've started. Until the time you come and get us, Lord, we just pray that you would anoint these guys, fill them with your Holy Spirit and all the rest of the people down there, that they would just be a bright light in the midst of the darkness and it would attract people there to hear your gospel. And continue to change hearts. It's so encouraging to hear these testimonies of these kids, many of these kids that we've personally gotten to know over the years, Lord, to hear them see their need for you and receive you in their lives. Lord, we pray that you'd continue to do that work in those kids that are brought there. Bring the kids that you want there, Lord. And just we pray for your blessing in everything. Continue to provide. May we remember these guys and faithfully pray for them, Lord. And we do pray for continued open doors to go down and get to see firsthand and help these guys out as you see fit. So we commit them to you, and all God's people said, amen, guys. Amen. Amen. So encouraging to hear that. Mike will be back there after service with his family. So if you guys have any more questions or you want any cards so you can get on their email chains or know how to support them, you can go ask and get that stuff back there. So now we have another special guest. Many of you guys know our old pastor, oldest, and he was a former pastor, old also, and that he's getting up there in years, as you can tell. Do you want me to get you a chair to sit down? No, I'm just joking. Anyways, I'm going to have Jason Beal come up here to share what the Lord's doing in his life.
Back in the saddle. Woo! What a trip, man. So cool. This is weird to be standing here as the guest speaker. You know, and just so humble. God is faithful. Amen. That's the one thing that when I stand here, I've been back since we moved, but every time I come in the building, I look around and I just marvel how faithful God is. And he's building his church. Amen. God's just doing a great work. So thanks, Chris, for having me. And Chris, you guys have a great pastor. Chris is doing a great job. Let's hear it for Chris. First and foremost, I want to just, on behalf of my wife, Regina couldn't come today. So she was feeling a little under the weather, and she decided to just kind of be super responsible and considerate of others and things like that. So I know everybody's more interested in seeing her than me, but JJ's here. I got Caleb here, and Libby's here. Got most of my family. My son Josh is still on the island. He's getting married in March, so we're excited for him. So greetings from everyone. So for the next couple of hours, what I'd like to do, just kidding, but I would like to, but let's pray. And then I just want to share a little bit about what God's been doing in our lives and what we are sensing he's doing in the coming days. So Father, we just pause right now. We thank you so much, Lord. I actually feel pretty humbled coming up here after Mike, Lord, just so blessed by what you're doing, Lord, in that ministry. I'm so blessed by what you're doing through Chris and the ministry here. And who are we, Lord, that you would use us to do anything? I mean, who are we that you'd save us? But then to turn around and use us and let us be a part of the project is crazy. So thank you, Jesus. And I just pray that, I know you've already been stirring hearts this morning. Would you continue to do that in Jesus' name? Amen. Amen. So this is hard for me, honestly. I don't really know where to start, especially in this unique group. I've been at a couple other churches and it's different than being here. With the time I have, I want to share a little bit about what's going on with us. First of all, Mike, where's Mike? There you are. I can't believe it's been almost 10 years. I was at that meeting with Chris when we prayed about, should we get behind these guys? I don't know. They're kind of shady. They went to OSU. I don't know if we can trust them. No, but what an amazing, I'm just in awe, man, to see the pictures. And I'm just, yeah. And one thing about Columbia, their centipedes are like even bigger than the ones in Hawaii. So they are gnarly. Real quick on the Hawaii thing, and we'll talk some more in a second, but I just want to get this out of the way. You saw these calendars when you came in. It's not like a new business venture of mine or anything like that. The reason we have these, it's actually super awesome. The guy in the back, his name is Joey Roper. He moved to the island of Kauai, where we've been for the last 3 years. He moved there about a year ago, and he was a missionary in Germany for 10 years and just so happens to move to Kauai during the time that we were announced we're moving to Germany. And we became very good friends with them very quickly. He was working in Kauai, had an accident where he couldn't work, so he just started doing some photography, and he had this brainstorm one day, and he's the kind of guy that when it's in his head, he's just going to do it. He started going around the island to the extent he even rented a helicopter to get pictures of the Nepali coast. It took pictures of all around the island, and his whole goal was to just be able to actually kind of give a cool little gift for people who can't come to the island right now. But also, part of all the funds from this are directly going to help support us financially. So that was his thing. So he sent all these calendars with me. It's such a blessing. I wish I could say how much that family has meant to me. So these are available to you guys out there. They're $25 and you can buy them or cash or card or whatever. And we'll take care of you if you want one. And that's why they're out there. Also, there's these magnets too. They're really tiny. Regina messed up on the order. So if you have like a magnifying glass, you can read, but at least you can kind of see our faces and you'll pray for us every time you get in the fridge. So I'm not trying to throw her under the bus. I mean, she would admit it. So, okay, let's get that out of the way. I want to start by just sharing a scripture, okay? Because the word of God is what it's all about. And I want to just start with this because this has really been for me, probably for the last 4 years, one of the verses that it just has new life for me, has just become so real to me. And it's actually from Psalm 37 in verse 5, and it says this: commit your way to the Lord, trust in him, and he will act. Commit your way to the Lord, trust him, and he'll act. Mike was talking about trust. The word trust means to believe to the extent of full, or to believe to the extent of full trust and reliance, like rely on him. And that's something God has been teaching us over the last several years. You know, it was about a little over 3 years ago that I stood here for my last time preaching. And I know it was a shock for many when we moved to Hawaii. It was very clear to my wife and I that our time at this church was done. God was stirring other things. We didn't expect to actually go to Hawaii. I honestly, just so you know, 3 years ago, expected to announce I'd be going to Germany or some other part in Europe or in the Middle East. We knew that the Lord was moving us towards missions. Hawaii was a stop along the way that, guys, for the last 3 years was so needed for me and my family. Not because we just took it easy and surfed. Actually, it's actually quite difficult to live in Hawaii. It's a lot harder to live there than it is to vacation there. And God had stuff for us to do there. I was an assistant pastor. I was kind of the supporting role for Calvary Chapel North Shore. And then also God was just doing a deep, deep work in me for about first year and a half of there. I was just working full-time at a restaurant and serving at the church, kind of on a voluntary basis. And, you know, God at various times would remind me, you know, you preached a good sermon about your identity is not in being a pastor or being a missionary or doing this or doing that, but your identity is who you are in Christ. Well, now you get a chance to live that out as a dishwasher at a fast food place. And it was one of the best things that God ever did in my life, just to bring me back down to just humble me a little. It was so good. And God was just bringing me back to just my identity is who I am in Christ. And he was just doing a cool work in me and through us. And we got to serve at Calvary Chapel North Shore and all of that. So I'm trying to do this in a kind of a quick way. So Lord willing, here's the plan. In March, late March, we are planning to buy a one-way ticket to Germany and moving to Germany. And some of you guys are like, Germany, what in the world? That is so out of the blue. How did you guys come up with Germany? Well, it's not as out of the blue as you might think. It's actually something that God has been doing in our hearts and minds for quite some time. Like I said, I actually expected to do this like 3 or 4 years ago. Let me throw my slideshow. I've got a slideshow too. I'm new to this missionary thing, but There it is. Boom. Next slide. I want to just start with this one right here because this is kind of the genesis of why we're moving to Germany. In about 2013, 2014, that guy on the right is my brother-in-law, Nick. And he was working at a children's hospital in Arizona. And one of the children there died, I think, of leukemia. And the parents of that child went on this like thing of, hey, why don't you consider donating bone marrow? And so my brother-in-law just kind of put his blood sample in. I don't know all the technical terms of how it works medically, but it evidently goes into an international database. There's a point to this story. Time goes by, and some time goes by, and he gets contacted saying, look, there's like a 99.9% match on your blood and your bone marrow for this person who happens to live in Germany, by the way. And so they do the process. This young girl, 25 years old or so, dying of leukemia. They radiate her to practically death. They kind of get her ready to receive. They take my brother, do the process on him, ship the blood over, inject it in. However the process works, I don't know clearly. It saves her. It takes. I've told this story before. It's miraculous. They knew that it would take because when they drew her blood out, it showed up as his blood. So she was saved by the blood of my brother-in-law. So some time goes by, and evidently in the program, after about a year, the recipient has the option of contacting the donor. They contact each other. They start corresponding. This is not a love story, so it's not where it's going. So just, it's not a Hallmark show. It's nothing. But they start corresponding, and this wonderful friendship forms. And then her, Jenny, that's her name's family, says, hey, we want to fly you out and meet you. And so Nick says, hey, Regina, my wife, you know, let's go. And she goes, I think Jason's supposed to go on this trip. So I got to go with my brother-in-law in 2016, and I'll never forget. In fact, go to the next slide just for a second. Okay, go back to the other one. That's what the sign we saw when we got off. So just real quick, we get off the plane in Berlin, and I'll never forget these kind of like blurred out sliding glass doors open, and there's Jenny with her mom and her friends, and there's weeping because they're staring at Nick, who was like the guy that didn't know them from Adam and yet donated his bone marrow, saved her life, saved their baby, you know, it's like this incredible, like emotional scene. And I'm like there on the sidelines, like watching this whole thing, like eating popcorn, like this is so cool that I get to be there for this. And so, at the end of the day, Nick, man, just was welcomed into the family. And because I'm connected to Nick, I'm welcomed into the family. And for like 10 days, man, they just brought us into their home and we sat around and we talked and And these are people that, for the most part, not Jenny and her generation, but her parents, who grew up in a communist East Germany. This is in Eastern Germany, not Western Germany. So this is kind of in a little tiny village in the middle of Eastern Germany. And so many of them taught there is no God, right, under the communist rule. And so we would just sit around till the wee hours of the night. They just drink and talk and sit around the table and eat, and we just would very organically just talk about our faith and bring out the guitars and share. It was just a wonderful, 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 awesome time. And so I know I'm leaving that picture up there for a long time because we're going to zip through the other ones here in a minute. But bottom line is I got back from that trip. It was a great trip. I'm like, I'm not sure why I went on this trip. It was neat. That's cool. I get back from that trip. I'm home here in Warrenton on my couch. I get a call from Tom Doyle. Anybody remember Tom Doyle? He wrote Killing Christians. He spoke at this church before. Now, here was a guy that was doing missions in the Middle East that I thought we would be connected with. In fact, he invited us, many of you guys know that, to go and be a part of that ministry. And we kind of thought that's the direction we were going to go. So when he called, he said, look, I'm on this flight and I'm thinking about you. We're getting ready to do a missions trip to Germany. And your name popped into my mind. Would you be interested in going to Germany on a missions trip? And I was like, I just got back from Germany. Yes, I want to go to Germany. And so a couple months go by. Many of you guys remember this when I went on this trip. We went to Berlin, and that was kind of at the height of the refugee problem from Syria. And we were just there really to reach out to Muslims from all over Syria had come into Germany and Iran and Afghanistan and all these places. And so we did this awesome outreach, got to share our testimony, got to go into refugee camps, just got to share Christ in that way. And that trip ended. When it ended, this is where it kind of is pertaining to us a little bit more. When that trip ended, I ended up staying an extra day or two. I rented a car from Berlin. I drove down to the little village of Lengefeld where Jenny and her family lives. And I knew I had one night to be there, but I couldn't be that close and not say hello, basically. So got there, got to just spend the evening with them, have a great dinner. At the dinner table, Jenny says to me, her English is doing really well. She says, I want to get baptized. What? First of all, you can't just say I want to be baptized. Like, nobody's ever ready for that. You know, so I'm like, wait a minute, there's a process here. We have to talk about things, you know. And so I'm like going through and I'm just, well, okay, this is what it means. And she's like, yeah, I know. I want to get baptized. I'm like, okay. And so the next morning we get up. It's late October at this point. They have a swimming pool that's been like half drained, decommissioned for the rest of the season, right? But there it is. It's like swimming in the ocean in Oregon. It's so cold. So she wants to get baptized. She comes out. I get to baptize her. You know, she receives Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior, and we baptize her, and I get dressed and everything. I get in my car and I get back on the plane and I leave. But it was that leaving that really got me, because I thought, here's a young lady who gave her life to Jesus, born again. Where in the world is she going to go to get discipled now? I'm not saying there's not Christians, and I'm not saying there's not churches in Eastern Germany, though it is difficult. My friend Joey, if you were here, who was there in Germany, in Western Germany for 10 years, would say you have no idea what it's like. Because for us, we don't like this church. Oh, we'll just go one down the street that's teaching through the Bible. That does not happen. Understand? It does not happen. Christianity, for the most part, is dead, especially in that region, which is ironic because that's where the Reformation started. On our second trip, we actually got to go to Wittenberg and see the church where Luther put the 95 theses on. And it's a museum. That's what it is. And all that to say is, I can't explain it, but my heart was so heavy. Like, there is such a need for just simple teaching of the Bible in this region of churches, this little village and all the villages. Anything less than 100,000 people is a village, by the way. So don't think of like, it's like third world or something. No offense to third world countries, Michael. But so that's what was stirring in me and brewing in me. But then we ended up going to Hawaii. And I have to be honest with you, a lot of the time when I was in Hawaii, knowing these other things that were on my heart, I was like, God, what is going on in this verse? Commit your way to the Lord, trust him, and he will act. So whatever way, path, road you're on, you have to say, Lord, you know where I want to go. You know where I am right now. God, I'm trusting you to the best of my ability. I'm going to keep walking this, but I trust you. I trust you with timing. I trust you with whatever you're going to do. And then he, in his timing and in his way, unfolds events. Amen. So when we were there in Hawaii for, I think the beginning of this year, like we used to do here, the church had a few days of prayer and fasting at the end of the year of 2019 going into 2020. And at the end of those days of prayer and fasting, my wife and I had been praying about, Lord, we're thankful for, we're in for Hawaii. We're here in Hawaii, but we know you're stirring something else. But what is it? What's going on with our lives? It just so happened, my good friend Andy Ziesmer, anybody know Andy from A Jesus Mission? Woo-hoo! We all love Andy. Started out in a rock band, now is like helping with send dozens and dozens of missionaries all over the world, just a great guy. And he came out for a visit, and he just randomly, he and his friend Pierce were just talking about when they were in the band and all these crazy things that they did in Europe, and then specifically Germany. And as he's talking, my heart's like, you know, like, I'm like, bro, I got to go to work. Just go hang out with my wife and tell her all the stuff you just told me. And so I go to work. I get home from work. Regina's like waiting for me on the couch. Like, this is crazy. Like, and we both just kind of knew, like, I think we're supposed to go to Germany. And so this began this process. It wasn't just like some big decision we made. There's all these little things and we're just walking one step by the next. And then there's all the steps that came after that. Like, oh God, but how's this going to work? And how are we going to afford to go? And what about my parents that are here? And what about our kids? And what about this? And how, I don't know how to be a missionary. But step by step, the Lord just told us to trust him. And it was just been this progression. And so our big next step is we're stepping out in faith to go, and we're going to go right back to that village. Actually, we contacted Jenny and told her we're moving there, and she's, you know, she was excited, and they actually already found a place for us to rent in that little village, and people are asking, what are you going to do when you get there? And I don't say this flippantly, but I don't know. I have no idea. I'm a Bible teacher. I'm a pastor at heart. I know that. But we're going there to love the people. We're going there to learn the language. We're going there to just You know, our mentality has always been, we're either going to die there, we're going to get raptured out of there, or God will tell us to go do something else. That's how we approach being here. That's how we approach being in Hawaii. That's how we're going to approach going there. We believe God wants to do an awesome work. We don't know what that looks like yet, but we're really okay with it. We're okay with that because we know God wants to save people. God wants to bring people into the fold. God wants to plant churches. God's on the move. We just are trying to, like the famous saying, you know, figure out what God's doing and just join him in that. That's kind of what we're trying to do. We're just stepping out in faith. Amen. So that's kind of what we're doing. We joined up with the Jesus Mission. They're just kind of, they help handle a lot of the nuts and the bolts and things like that as far as giving and a lot of other services that they provide for us. That's kind of what we're doing there. I wanted to share a couple of things about this. To me, I'm in the process. I haven't been on the mission field in the same way like our friends for 10 years. We're in this very weird transitionary period. We're trusting God. We have more questions than answers, right? But we believe that he's gonna do it. Whatever he's gonna do, he's gonna do it. We're in his hands. We're following him. We're trusting him. We're committing our way to him. But just because I know that this is not unique to us, you guys in your life in some way today, there's something where you're having to walk by faith. There's something you don't understand. And I just want to encourage you, commit your way to the Lord. Trust him. Don't trust him to do it the way you want him to do it. Trust him to do it however he chooses to do it. And wait upon him and let him do it. And that has just been the process that we've been in. And, you know, it wasn't like we decided to go to Germany, everything just wide open. Like it created such an upheaval in our lives, clearly, because everything's about to change again. I'm almost 50 and I'm starting over again. You know, it's not easy to do. And I'll tell you, there was one night in particular, right? I think it was right before the whole pandemic exploded or whatever, but we sensed that we're supposed to go to Germany and we got to tell our parents and we got to tell our kids and there's so much. And like, I'm like, Lord, are you kidding me? Are you sure? And so I remember one night I just want to tell the story real quick. It was about 8:30 at night, 9 o'clock, maybe. Regina had just gone to bed and I just can't sleep. I'm like, I got to go for a walk, honey. And she's like, go for it. So I walk out to the streets of Hanalei where we were living at the time. They close the street. It's like Cannon Beach at 8 o'clock. It's like, there's nothing. Like they roll up the sidewalks and it's sleepy. Everybody's going to bed. So I'm walking up there to go pray. There's nobody out there and not a car going by, just me and the stars. And I'm like trying to pray, but I'm so frustrated and so confused and so just don't know what in the world is going on. I don't even know how to pray. Anybody ever been like that? So this is a true story. I literally stop, look up into the sky and go, God, is this Germany thing even real? Put my head down and kept walking. That was my prayer. About 20 seconds later, I hear something off in the distance. And it's coming towards me. It's just like, oh, it's a family. It's a family walking towards me. They're just walking towards me, like mom, dad, grandma, grandpa, kids. And they're coming and they're closer. I realize they're singing. That's cool. That's kind of cute. They're singing in German. And I'm like, no way. And they're like, they kind of get quiet as they pass by me. And I'm just stopping looking at them. And I go, Guten Abend. And they go, hey, like that. And they just went their way and that was it. I'm like running home, you know, like, Regina, wake up. We're going to Germany. It's all true. You know, and God is just so faithful along the way to get those little confirmations. You know, actually, I forgot to mention this. When I got back from Germany the second time, when my car was really starting to be stirred, we had our annual men's retreat down in Cannon Beach. My friend Zach was here. You guys remember that? We did a thing on prayer. And I don't know if some of you guys were there for this towards the end. All the guys came down to pray for me, which was fantastic. It was like 40, 50 guys pressing in, praying on me. And one of the guys, I don't want to mention who it was, Marcus Handy, said, gave a word of prophecy. And the reason I knew it was a word of prophecy, because he's not the kind of guy that always goes around saying, thus saith the Lord. It was so just natural and from the Lord. In the middle of the prayer, he goes, I think the Lord's saying he's not done with you in Germany. He had no idea what was going on in my mind. And there was things like that all along the way where God's just faithful just to meet us all along the way. And so all that to say, guys, we're in this transitionary process. We're raising funds. We're raising support. We need your support. And I'm not just talking financially. Of course, it takes money to do all this stuff, okay? Of course. But we need people that will pray for us every day. We need people that would be committed not to really, truly pray for us all the time. Because we're going into a very dark part of the world, spiritually speaking. And so, yeah, that's kind of where we're at in the process. Amen? I want to share a couple pictures. I think I'm done at 10:30, or did I already go over time? Okay, is it 10:30? No, I mean, is the time that I have to stop 10:30? Okay. Well, I don't take too much longer, but let's go a couple of pictures. So this is just a picture I took of the area. It's beautiful. Amen? There's no surf there. Just saying. Got to count the cost, people. All right. So that's actually the little village, and that little pyramid-looking thing is the, I think it's the, oh, I always forget the word. Yeah, it's from an old mine. Is that the word? Tailings. Is that what you said, whoever it was? Thank you. Yeah, this is the tailings of an old mine that that village was known for. I don't know what they mined for, so don't ask me. Next one. That is German food. Hallelujah. Next slide. More German food. This is actually why we're moving. Amen. First, we got some schnitzel. Okay, go ahead. Keep going. So this is where ministry happens right here. This is amazing. Just Jenny and her family, is my brother-in-law, Nick. The gal on the far left is a wonderful woman we got to meet, and she since passed away from cancer. And it's actually, I think it's her family home that we actually are going to be renting, I think, if I'm correct. So just kind of an interesting story there, but I put this picture in there because I'm not kidding, guys. This is where ministry happens. This is where so often the gospel goes out. And sometimes you think, well, I don't know if I could be a missionary and go across the world. You could invite your neighbors from across the street and eat a meal with them and tell them about Jesus in just a very organic and loving way. Amen. And then you guys know Andy Ziesmer, I guess, was talking about. He called me not too long ago. He's like, man, I started having these dinners at my house. And he's like, I think I accidentally started a church. Like I'm baptizing them and they want to get married now. And this, like, yeah, that's, it's, it just happens like that. So praise God. Anyway, go ahead. Again, this is not the village we're going to. This is a place in the Harz Mountains. But it's just beautiful. And it kind of gives you an idea of just the area. Yeah, next stuff. That's Jenny and Nick and I when we were there in 2016. Got to actually be in this church. I forget what century this church was built in, but it's this beautiful church, you know, in their sanctuary or in their village. That is the reason I put that in there is because this is a car, as a reminder, this was a restored car from the GDR era. And I got to ride in that 23 horsepower thing cooks. It is unreal. But this is from the time that was under Soviet or, you know, communist control in East Germany. And that was one of the few vehicles you could have. So interesting. This is Jenny getting baptized. Praise God. This is not in Lingenfeld. This was in Berlin. This was from the second missionary trip I went on there. And the reason I just put that out there, just to, again, a little perspective, just not in the village, but in the nation. So that's a cafe upper left and on the right, where we would just invite all these, most of them are Muslim refugees, and just had opportunity to share testimony. We were doing it in three languages there on the right. And then these four gentlemen down below are all young men. They're living in a container right there. That's at the refugee camp. And each one of them had a story of why they had to run from their country for their lives. Some of it was religious persecution. Others was just political. But being able to share Christ in that environment was extremely eye-opening and humbling. Okay, next. I think I'll kind of end on this one. Quick story. This is a picture of a church not far from the village that we're going to go to. I didn't take this picture. I've been developing a great friendship with a man named Marcus and his family who live in Germany. I got connected through my friend in Hawaii who was there for years and years. My friend who took this picture actually goes to Calvary Chapel Siegen in Western Germany. He was on a trip and he purposely diverted his trip to go see the area that we're planning on going to. They're super excited about having us come. They're saying stuff like, nobody goes there. Nobody goes to that part of Germany. Germans don't go to that part of Germany. Like, what are you doing? So he sent me this picture and he was just going on and he's like, yeah, I want to send you this picture. It's kind of a shame. It's this beautiful old church. And he's like, but now the roof is caved in and the windows are busted out and the doors are barred and there's tiles falling down and birds living in it. And he's like, but at one time it was a really beautiful church, I'm sure. And he said, and the reason I'm sending you this picture is because this is Germany. This is the spiritual condition of Germany. There's a remnant of what once was, but it's dead. And that was a huge reminder to me. Not those aren't my words. That's the words of a national, of somebody who lives there, who's born again, loves the Lord. And he's saying, the church needs revival. It's dead. And so that, if you had to pinpoint a need or, why are you doing this? A, we're doing this because Jesus is telling us to. It's obedience driven, not need driven. But there's a huge need. And the need is the simple gospel of Jesus Christ. And for the simple teaching of God's word. Amen. And so I keep that up as a reminder to me that, man, there needs to be new life, fresh life. You know, Germany is a country with a robust, wonderful, as I've already mentioned, spiritual heritage. But that was great 500 years ago, 300 years ago, whatever. But they need a fresh revival in that country, as does much of the world in Europe, for sure. So you can pray for us. We'd be excited to share more with you. There's lots more we could share. It's really actually kind of difficult to, there's so much I want to say to you guys in particular as my, church family, as the founding pastor here, and then now coming to share as a wannabe missionary. There's a lot more I'd like to say, but, just want to make you aware of what, hey, this is something else the Lord's doing in another part of the world. And how we can be praying. And, I really want you to pray about what God wants to do in your life. You don't have to leave the country, but I believe that God wants to do something in you, cause you to trust him as you're walking in faith and whatever it is you're trusting him today. Amen. Let's pray. God, thanks for the opportunity to share. I wish we had time to all day just to kick it and answer questions and all that stuff, but I know that you're in control, Lord. I pray you'd stimulate the heart of your kids. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let me pray for you, man. Let's pray for Jason. Lord, I just lift up Jason, his wife, and JJ. Is obviously, this is just another huge transition in their lives, Lord. And Father, I just so appreciate that word. There's no better place to be than committing our ways to you. And surely we can trust you, Lord. You've never given us reason not to. And you've been nothing but faithful to these guys all their lives, take care of them and act on their behalf, Lord. We know you're for them and not against them. And so you've put this burden on their hearts. Obviously, there are people there in that country that need to know you before you return. So, Lord, I just pray you continue. You're the one that opens doors that no man can open and shut. So as you open up those doors, just give them unity in your spirit to see those doors to walk through. Provide a way, Lord, in this environment we live in today, it seems impossible to go to any other country, but that's kind of cool because we like seeing things and knowing that it's you doing it, not us. So I pray it would be like that. You'd be the one that would bust open the door, because what's impossible with man is definitely possible with you, Lord. And that you would, just my brother prayed, you stir us up, Lord. How are we supposed to be a part of this, Lord? Whether we're most definitely supposed to be praying, but financially supporting and coming alongside them, Lord, just give us that wisdom, Father, because we want to be a part of that work you're doing all over this world, just as you've allowed us to be. So bless these guys. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
God will be out there.
Amen. He did better than before. He left me more than like 2 minutes. So I'm going to have the worship team come up here because, guys, along with what he was saying, I don't want you guys to just rush out here without responding or letting the Lord, give the Lord a chance to kind of, just in a sense, speak your heart on how that word was for you. Missions have played a big part in my life. Any of you guys have known me, known that my wife and I have always been a part of them in some way or another. We've led several trips. And early on, actually the first trip I took to Colombia was really where the Lord kind of got to me into getting me to tap out and surrender my life to him. And not in the sense of like, he was my savior before then, but I don't know if he was really my Lord. Like, I'd go on mission trips and I had kind of this mindset of like, oh yeah, this is cool, but I'd never bring my family because it's dangerous and I couldn't do this like long term. And I remember on that trip, there was a very real moment where it was like what Jason just taught there out of Psalm 36 or 37. Like, the Lord's like, are you willing to commit your way to me? Like, are you willing to just trust me no matter what I ask? And see me act. And it was like, all right, Lord, I am. I'll commit you my life to you. I commit my family. If this is what you want from me, I'm willing to do it. And initially I took that as, all right, you know, we're moving to Colombia, like we're going to missions, you know, and that's not how he acted in my life. He had something different in mind. But having said that, he had to get me to that point long before he ever called me to be a pastor or anything else, of just trusting in him. And I think for each of us as a Christian, that's just a good word, because you have to get to the point in your Christian walk to realize that, here's the thing. If you're willing to give up the things that you could never, ever keep in the first place, you will gain things that you will never, ever lose. All right? That's what it means to get to count the cost, to give up your life. It maybe in a literal sense, but not anytime soon here in the United States, but just dying to yourself, just surrendering your life, committing your life to the Lord. Lord, it's yours. Whatever you want. I trust you. You've already demonstrated you love me more than anyone ever could. I have no reason not to trust you. So I'm just giving you my life and I'm letting you act. And that may mean so many things for you. Maybe it means that you support one of these guys financially or prayerfully. Maybe it means the Lord's calling you into something somewhere else. Maybe it means it's just right here where you're at. Like there's something the Lord wants you to be doing for him that, in a sense, you've been kind of holding part of your life back, and he's just wanting you to commit it to him. So as we just kind of sing one last song to him, we'll have our prayer team up around the room. And if the Lord's like stirring you, like he did me on that trip, I remember first time Mike came and spoke here, there was a couple sitting here and they were contemplating adopting a boy from China, and the wife was all in, but the husband wasn't really quite there. And like he heard them speak, and through what the Lord was doing in their life, that's the Holy Spirit just is like, hey, you need to commit your way to me and trust me. And it led to them adopting this beautiful boy from China. So I like I said, I don't know what the Holy Spirit's speaking to you right now, but I know he wants to speak to you. So don't just rush out of here without letting that happen. Let's just sing this last song. If you're being prompted to come up and get prayer, come and get prayer with somebody. And let's seek the Lord together. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord God, we do want to commit every single part of our lives to you. Again, there is nothing, no reason not to trust you. We know what you say in your word, that everything you tell us to do is for our good. You are a perfect, loving Father. And in our lives, we've seen that to be true. Every time we're in your word, every time we're obeying, we're following your lead, it works out for our benefit. Even when we don't see what you're doing as something we want to do, if we're just willing to place faith in you and trust you and go into it, we know, we've seen that it always works for our good. So Lord, there is no reason any of us should leave here without committing every single cranny of our life to you, Lord, and we want to do that. And sometimes we need help, and we're thankful you reveal those areas that we're holding back. Reveal them to us right now. We want to give it to you. We want to trust you. We want you to act in our lives. There's nothing more that we enjoy than seeing you act in our lives. Have your way in your people right now. Amen.